All praise the dark god Garbleflagon, Ryleth Gnut. Bring forth the tentacled horrors.
This evening, let's dip our minds into the far realm and birth forth some custom aberrations.
That's how we roll.
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 Welcome to the Goblins Corner. My name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
And tonight,
we're talking about custom aberrations.
That's right. Tonight, we've got all kinds of fun ways to create your own custom aberration.
Right.
Complete with tentacle horrors or body horror or psychic cosmic horror, perhaps.
Sure. All of it.
All the horrors.
Yes.
And in addition to that, we've got a couple of examples that you can use for free.
As we like to do.
As we do. But before we get to all of that, hit the like and subscribe button. Help us get our show out to more people and get notified when more amazing episodes come your way with tentacle horror phalanges.
Yes, we'll have to have the editors that we pay to give you some tentacle fingers. That'd be great.
That's me.
I know. And you're not going to do it. But it sounded great.
Guys, it's just me doing all of these episodes, just so you know.
I try to make it clear as often as possible that you are the technical whiz here.
Yeah.
And if you're listening to the show, give us a review on iTunes, Podchaser, any other place you listen to the show. Maybe hit us, you know, with a 5 stars, 6 stars. Make up some extra stars. It'll be great.
20 stars, all the stars. Give us all the stars, too. Cosmic stars.
I was just about to go with the strange star in the east.
Yeah, strange stars in the north sky. Speaking of which, let's just go ahead and jump in. So you want to make a custom aberration.
Sure.
Maybe you've played some Mind Flayers or Beholders or other strange creatures like Sochari.
Yeah. That's a little, you know, that's a little vanilla aberration, right? We've seen them all before.
You see some Grell, right? You
sure. The Grells are so ridiculous.
Parrot brains.
Yeah.
That's what they just parrot brains, right? But you want to make your own. How would you do this? We've got the answer. In fact, we've got a series of answers because we have several steps involved in to create your own custom aberration.
The first is you've got to think about where is your aberration from?
I would say this is probably the most important part because, again, we are very story oriented, less mechanically oriented, and that's just because you're telling a story. It's fun.
Right.
So think about where it comes from because that can flavor both the powers, the description, maybe even the ecology or the lore behind what your custom tentacle horror becomes.
And the mentality of the critter.
Yeah. So we've got a couple of examples. So for, you know, the biggest one is obviously it comes from the far realm.
Yes.
And D&D had a great example of, hey, look, this is just wacky outside our own cosmology. You get out there and you're just going to burst forth tumors and all kinds of multiple eyes like Akira.
Yeah. It's basically the cosmic horror location for Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah. But there's lots of different places in addition to that.
Sure.
And I would say something from the far realm might be variously different than something from, say, the plane of dreams.
That's very true.
So what would be an example of like something from the plane of dreams?
The plane of dreams, you could have creatures that appear good, that have sudden turns, because in the plane of dreams, you could very easily have things that go from a pleasant dream to a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, you would have creatures that personify that sudden change.
Yeah.
And so that would be a great example.
A monster that's kind of just like that ring jump skip type animation.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of, that could, it could be something as simple as that, or it could be something like the, what is it? The quarry from Eberron.
Yeah.
Which are basically tentacled horrors.
Sure.
Just in dream form.
You could have something that has like a 80s slasher film kind of monster walk, which like no matter how far you get away from it, it's fine. But the second you turn back to look to see if it's following you anymore,
sure.
Suddenly it teleports to you.
Yeah. Could also have other places like Limbo. Limbo's a great place for aberrations. Why? Because the primordial energies of chaos infuse the entire realm.
Sure.
You've got Slod.
Yeah. It's where you literally take a bunch of appearances, pour them in a blender, half bake them in an oven, and whatever comes out is the creature that is there.
Somehow looks like a toad every time. Why does it keep popping up battle toads?
Hey, it likes battle toads.
That's what it is. You could also have planar taint. A good example of that might be two planes that are coterminous with each other, smashing into each other, overlapping.
There used to be critters called grues, which were where elementals meet the negative elemental plane. And so they were basically
bad elementals,
evil elementals,
yeah, bad elementals gonna get you.
I mean, you know, a flaming mind flayer is not a very pleasant concept.
That would be an awesome concept, I think. You know, it'd be even worse than that. One made of air.
Sure. Yeah, just a wind flayer.
Opens its mouth, its circular orifice, and a tornado pops out of it.
Oh, I was thinking like four tornadoes, like the tentacles for its mouth. Just.
Oh, yeah. It just rips through its gigantic size. It can destroy four houses at once.
Sure.
Yeah, psychic winds. That'd be a lot of fun stuff with that.
Yeah.
What else could we have? What other ways could we get crazy aberrations in terms of like locations?
One of my favorites is magical mutations.
That's right. You got that sorcerer that's been baking all kinds of half-created monstrosities in his dungeon.
Yep.
Some alchemical runoff from an industrial plant.
Any place where there are groups of people experimenting with new magic.
Strixhaven.
Yes. 100%.
You know, in the basements of Strixhaven are all of the failed students chained in some lockers, right? They got exposed to chemicals. Maybe they messed up with a potions class.
Yeah.
And they're lurking below. Great place to come from.
Absolutely. Lots of good options there.
But we don't have to have just like places. You could also have something like a curse. Maybe a dark god cursed you and became an aberration. There's lots of examples of that as well.
Curses from magical items, like golem. Contact with other aberrations.
This is one you don't think of very often, but other aberrations could create aberrations. A good example of that is Aboleth.
Sure.
Because they make scum.
Absolutely. And if you've been playing Baldur's Gate 3, mind flayers.
Creating other mind flayers.
More mind flayers.
Sure. They also create, what is it, the...
Squidlings?
Yes.
The gnome mind flayers.
Delightful little gnomes with horrible tentacles that just want to eat your face.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that at all. When we talk about custom aberrations, description is way more important than for all other creatures.
Yeah.
Because it could have 1,000 tentacles. Yeah. Horrible eyes.
And when we say horrible eyes, understand, there are lots of things with lots of types of eyes out there. You get goat eyes are very disconcerting.
Yes.
Faceted gem-like eyes from a bunch of different types of bugs, right? Mm-hmm. You could even have like the little eye spots for worms. There's a bunch of options to play with here. Don't just give, oh, that dog's got human eyes. It's weird. No, get weird.
Could have chelicerata, which if you don't know what those are, yeah, the insect mouth parts for chewing. That'd be fun. Don't have to put them on the face, by the way. Could be on their hands or right in the central chest cavity. Opens up like the thing.
Oh, I was thinking like Vampire Hunter D, but with insectoid mouths.
Why not? Right, yeah, it eats from the hands. That's really cool, too. What else could we have in terms of descriptions?
You could have odd legs or extra legs.
Mm-hmm. Always a lot of fun.
I mean, a classic example of that is a displacer beast.
Yes, it's got two tendrils on the back.
But it's also got an extra set of legs.
Oh, that's right. It has six.
Yep.
I forgot about that. You could have strange colors, prismatic colors, maybe sickly colors. When you're describing colors, maybe something otherworldly in the description.
Bioluminescent.
Yeah.
Or even bioluminescent patterns.
Or maybe the color itself is just wrong in the description. So it looks like a red color, but it's a wrong shade of red, like it's not supposed to exist in this world.
Sure.
That kind of description is really cool. It sets your players off in terms of like, oh, we're up against something that's a bit unusual, right?
It's a bluish red. You mean purple? No. It is a bluish red.
Yeah. And finally, you could also have stuff like gelatinous or transparent skin.
Yes. And if you need help with this description, look up glass frogs and then just work your way out from that.
Absolutely. I'm going to do everybody a favor here. You want to make a really custom aberration and you may be running out of ideas. Go look up the Cambrian explosion from fossil history.
Sure.
Look at some of the weird ass creatures that were created during that period in time in our world.
Yeah.
Mix and match some of that stuff. You've got a custom aberration.
Like the one that has, I don't want to call it a fish, the amphibious fish-like creature that could walk on land that had an almost human head, but with the big gnarly teeth.
Yeah.
Like it had a more rounded skull than most fish have.
There's some nightmare creatures out of that era.
Oh, absolutely.
Sea scorpions too, by the way.
Yes.
Very deadly.
Take a look at any of those things. Mix and match a couple of the options that it gives you, the horrible, horrible options, and run it.
We recommend a random chart that has lots of fun descriptions in it.
Yes.
It's very, grab a random chart, throw 20, 30 different things in it.
Mm-hmm.
Roll some dice.
I am even for multiple layers of charts. You know I love my random charts.
Absolutely.
Have a chart that just says insect, mammal, fish, right? And that way, when you roll, that it's got extra eyes. Well, what type of eyes are they?
Fish eyes? Insect right. eyes? Sure. Yeah. Where are they located, too?
Yeah.
It's got eyeballs on its feet?
Sure.
Why not? Could be. It's an aberration, right?
Yep.
Tentacles and eyeballs.
Walks around doing a handstand because all of its sensory organs are on its feet.
Once you've got a location and a good description of that creature, now you can start conceptualizing stuff like common abilities for that. What are some examples, Matt?
Things that affect perception, like mind-affecting or psionic abilities.
Sure. We can always have body horror effects. That's always a fun trope to explore, particularly with aberrations. So think the thing gets inside you and makes you bad.
Sure.
Could also be stuff like what?
Detachable limbs. Like it literally takes off an arm and gives itself reach.
That is always horrifying.
Sure.
It takes off its nose and it smells you.
It rips off its own jaw and throws it at you.
It starts gumming you to death with its jaw. That would be kind of cool, right? Could polymorph into other creatures.
Sure.
So maybe to infiltrate society.
You could even do things like the standard increased numbers of limbs or organs.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that turns up the volume on the creep factor is what we're talking about here.
Yeah. Aberrations have a high creep factor or a high scare factor compared to other monsters usually that we've seen.
A dragon is a dragon, and they're scary because they are dangerous.
Because of dragons.
Right. Not because they have anything innately creepy. They're flying lizards. Let's end of the day.
A ceramorphic dragon is a nightmare.
Sure.
And a total party kill, generally.
And an aberration.
Yes.
Yeah. The Elder Brain Dragon, that's an aberration.
Hey, look at the sea. What is it? The sea tyrant that I came up with back in, what was our chimeras episode?
Yeah. The aquatic chimeras.
Aquatic atrocities. Yeah. That was a giant sea cucumber mixed with a turducken of krakens.
Sure.
And I believe I had wings with it, too.
I'm sure. I imagine.
I don't even remember anymore. Body modification to the victims is always a fun ability as well. Either it changes them, it turns them into scum, for example.
Sure.
Or polymorphs them, maybe.
Yeah.
Makes them grow tumors.
Could. You could even do something that provides a benefit at the cost of visual aberration.
Like what?
Like it grabs your arm and your arm turns into this muscular, clawed, monstrous arm. Hey, that's awesome. You now have a monstrous claw that you can deal damage with.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to town,
everyone wants to kill you. Or maybe it's slowly infecting your brain, taking you over, turning you into an aberration as well.
Sure, like the Sochari.
How delightful. Speaking of Sochari, you could also have body control. Yep. It just takes you over.
Yep.
It eats you slowly from the inside until you're a fleshless husk.
Yeah. Invasion of the Body Snatchers, any of those type are perfect examples.
Another fun ability, which go back to the beholder here.
Eye rays.
Yeah.
Just it's got eyeball lasers.
Could just have some death rays. Doesn't matter what kind, really. Probably going to disintegrate you.
Cyclops is an aberration. Yes. There you go. You heard it here first.
And when we're talking about stuff like that, you could also do stuff like magical abilities. It could just be a spellcaster.
Sure.
Or it could take your spellcasting abilities.
Or even just giving it a suite of abilities that are thematic to it.
Mm-hmm.
Things like Pass Without Trace. Like if you wanted to make something super skulky and just like come out of nowhere, you just give it an entire suite of abilities that is specifically designed to make it more and more difficult to find.
The halfling thief is just kind of creeping along the hallway and all of a sudden this tentacle horror just pops out of the wall, bites his head off, slinks back in. The paladin behind him is like, the hell was that? That could happen.
Sure.
That's a bad time for the halfling. In addition to that, you could also do some stuff like infesting, like laying eggs. Slod do that, even though they're not technically aberrations. But Lots of aberrations do infest people.
Sure. When it comes to infestation, you've got infestation, which is planting eggs in someone, like botfly, right? That's an awful example, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
Or you can implant eggs in someone, like Slod or aliens, the H.E. Geiger, which, let's be honest,
they're definitely aberrations.
Yeah, they're aberrations. That's exactly what they are.
And you could have them mutate according to what they implant.
As they should. Yes.
So imagine a Slod. All right. I'm just going to use a Slod as an example because I don't know of anything right off the bat that does that. There's a insect species in D&D that does something similar. You get implanted, right? The dog gets implanted. It pops out as a toad, a dog-like toad with a party hat because it's a Slod.
Sure.
It implants a gnome. There's no change.
Oh, see, I was thinking a little werewolf frog.
A werewolf frog?
Because if it implanted the gnome. Slod to dog to gnome.
Oh, I see. You're just making the jump.
Yeah. It's a little werewolf
turns
frog
the paladin
gnome.
Into a warg. Why not? Or maybe it just makes him explode into balloons. You never know with Slod.
That's fair.
Finally, you could just have disturbing ways that player characters are eaten.
Yes.
Instead of just being, you know, bitten, like their head's bitten off, it could maybe have rastula, if you don't know what those are, the mouth parts on a snail, and it just rasp you, like wears you down over the course of 5 minutes.
Sure.
It's one ton body pressing on the gnome, wearing his face off. Yeah, like a belt sander, just slowly licking him to death.
That's fun. What if it also spits out a swarm? And the swarm is what eats you and returns to the base creature.
Sounds delightful. So you've got description, where it came from originally, some abilities. Where is it going to reside now, Matt? Where is its lair?
You've got a lot of options here. The Underdark is one of the most common, if not the most common.
Tried but true method, you know? You don't know where it comes from? It comes from the Underdark, right?
Of course it does.
Down below where all of the monsters reside.
Yep. A magic lab. Mm-hmm. It's a great option.
And this would be good if it comes from some kind of experimental runoff from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Or if it was made intentionally.
Yeah. It could have a lair in the Far Realm, so you may only see this creature in the Far Realm, which, by the way, is perfectly fine, right? There's just some things that just reside in the Far Realm that will wreck a planar traveler.
What about an aberrant version of an ethereal filter? Right? It resides in the Far Realm, but occasionally leaps out, does a thing, and goes back to its home in the Far Realm.
You're hanging out in the tavern.
And it pops straight into the
pops
middle of the
straight
tavern.
Straight off. It looks like an ethereal filter, but it's got extra tentacles. It's got hands where its eyes are, eyes where its hands are. And it just grabs the halfling, bites off his head, pops back into the Far Realm. And everyone's like, well, I'm not going in there.
And everything in the tavern has changed.
Yeah.
Like the wood grain is now like tongue.
Oh, that would be horrible.
Like, literally just change it. It's still wood, right? But it's got the texture, the shape, and the coloration of tongue. Like, changed literally everything. Because it just warped reality for just a moment.
My bourbon got turned into a Shirley Temple. What the hell's going on here?
Trash!
How dare they, sir? We have to go to the Far Realm to defeat this creature.
All of a sudden, that's what turns the tide. Well, the halfling's dead. Yeah. Shirley Temple instead of bourbon?
Screw the halfling. I want to go get him for my drink.
Exactly. A crusade!
Some other fun places that it could reside is Wild Space. Particularly since Spelljammer's come out, Wild Space is a perfectly great place to have new monsters appear from. Behind a crevice in, say, a far-off asteroid.
Yeah.
Or a derelict ship.
Or something that even mutated from the light of a strange star.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, going total cosmic horror there.
Yep.
Could also be what?
It could be inside your friend.
It could just be in your buddy.
Yep.
The whole time. And you know what? You want to start a campaign that really makes some paranoid players? Have it start off in an NPC and travel from player to player. Maybe it doesn't even kill them. It just makes them do terrible things and then gives them corruption points.
Good. There's lots of fun ways to play that.
And finally, it could also just reside in some alchemical waste.
We mentioned that earlier. It could have developed just from the runoff from an alchemy lab or magical experimentations. Like, it has happened out in the wild because of that runoff.
It just lives there.
Yep.
Wallows in it. And you got to get in the mix to defeat that creature. Hope you don't get mutated too.
Or on top of that, there could be now multiple creatures. Every natural creature that comes across this combination of ingredients, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, right? Like
Secrets of the Ooze?
Yeah. Everything that comes across this ooze begins to change.
Oh, God, we've got a new campaign to play, Matt. That sounds awesome. Now, all aberrations want something.
Sure.
Not all of them are intelligent, but right. Many of them are. What do they want? And that's something that you need to give to your new creation, your new horrific, multi-tentacled, multi-eyed creation. What is it they want? The easiest thing is they just want to eat people, right?
Yeah, especially the less intelligent ones. They're hungry. They just want to eat.
Yeah, mindless destructive, right?
Yeah.
Just wants to eat. It's got to eat. It's hungry. Some of them want world domination.
The Mind Flayers are a great example of that. Now, they want universal domination.
Yeah, well, Beholders are another good example because they're the eye tyrants.
Right.
You could also have
magic, money, power.
All the physical things that other creatures want just ramped up to 11.
Sure.
Maybe you want it to blot out the sun like the Mind Flayers do. Yeah.
Speaking of Illithids.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just want, they want a return to the Empire of Darkness.
Or some kind of ridiculous shit like that.
Sure.
Maybe they want to exterminate all of the land creatures or flood the entire world with an ocean like the Aboleth.
Yeah.
Return it back to like the primordial seas. Maybe they want something even more ridiculous to vaporize the atmosphere so that it's toxic to everything but them.
Makes sense.
Be a fun big bad.
Yeah.
Try to defeat that, right?
The other thing you have an option of is to make its wants and needs and urges completely unknowable.
Mm-hmm.
As a DM, if you're attempting to do this correctly, provide yourself with several methodologies, regardless of what the background impetus is. It can be recognized by its methodologies.
Yes.
Because if you make it completely unknowable, how will your players ever find it? But if you can track it down by its methods, then you're still okay.
And, you know, sometimes it's fine to have unknowable wants for your evil creature. And a lot of times, sometimes your players will fill in the blanks through gameplay, and then it seems really brilliant because they basically came up with the reason.
If your players have a brilliant idea, steal it. 100% steal it, write it down, make that the thing. That gives you two payoffs. One, you have an answer to your own question.
Mm-hmm.
Two, your players will love the fact that they figured out the mystery.
Yeah. Make it a deep cut.
Because they're going to remember, didn't I say, oh my God, we talked about this. They're going to love the fact that they figured it out.
If you make it a callback,
mm-hmm.
they will think that is the most brilliant thing ever.
Because players love to be right. Everybody likes to be right.
Yeah. Speaking of things that we like to be right about, we've got what, Matt?
The question of the week.
All right. What am I going to be right about this week? Because there's no wrong answers.
Exactly. It's all opinion-based. You're clearly correct. You've been hit with aberrant taint.
That's never a good day when I get hit with aberrant taint. There's no preparation H to fix that.
No, indeed. If you had a choice, what physical changes would occur?
I think it would be interesting if I had an extra arm.
Okay.
Maybe towards the back.
All
right. That'd be kind of cool, right? Prehensile of some sort.
Yeah, you could fix your backpack every time you put it on. Just
scratch that one area that I can't reach on my back. It's just
sure.
Right for that. Also, it'd be kind of cool. Yeah, you know, sometimes you just need an extra arm. Could hold tools. Be
sure.
Very useful. I don't care what it looks like. It could be tentacled horror arm. It could be, what is it, insectoid with multiple digits and stuff. It could just be a crab claw. I'd be down with as Eric walking down the street with his crab claw arm, you know, it's got an extra crab claw.
Sure.
I would be totally fine with that. You know, it'd be great. I'd always be able to cut wire with my crab claw.
Yeah. You'll always have a nutcracker handy.
Yeah. Got a wire stripper, nutcracker. Someone messes with me, hit him with the crab claw, right?
Yep. Just pop the hand right off of him.
Yeah. So that would be the simplest, dumbest aberrant taint. But I like that idea.
Okay.
I'm just tickled by the effect of that I have like this arm on my back that could be a crab claw.
What color is this crab claw? I'm just curious.
Like, oh, it's definitely going to be orange.
Is it?
Like, okay. Oh, yeah, I'm going like, yeah, like Red Lobster.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure if you were going for like blue.
No.
No? Just no. The straight up?
Yeah, going old school with it.
Okay.
A nice fiery orange, almost like an orange red.
Sure.
You know, almost like a road cone orange.
Yeah, if it's going to be aberrant, might as well be
it's
aberrant.
It's going to be a cheery color. People are going to look at that and say, now that's a crab claw arm.
That's a happy crab claw
right
there.
That's a hell of a crab claw arm that young man has. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
What about you? What would your aberrant taint be, Matt?
You and I are definitely on the same page for this one, only I went a little further. Prehensile shoulder tentacles.
Shoulder tentacles.
Yep.
Always a good idea.
You can go forward. You can go back with them. That's extra nice.
You could brachiate with them.
It's true.
Just
yeah.
Wander through the trees. Depends on how long they are, right? See, you just kind of swinging back and forth. You won't even need a swing. You could just, you know, get a nice back stretch because you could hang.
Yeah. There's so many benefits.
You could hold a tray. I don't know.
Thinking, like, anytime you got to do work around the house, like, I'd just stand there and clean out the gutters, right? Just send the tentacles up, go along the gutter. That'd be awesome.
All else fails, you could have a nice hat that you tip with your tentacle.
Oh, yeah. You'd have to.
You have to be dabbing. You know, if you had two shoulder tentacles, you would have to dress nicer.
Yeah.
Suit and tie every day, right? Maybe even you'd have to affect a monocle. I know you don't have eye problems like me, but.
Tentacle sleeves, right?
Oh, yeah.
Cufflinks on my tentacle sleeves.
100% cufflinks, yeah. Very tailored, right? Very nice.
Oh, yeah. With the, maybe even put the squid hand bit on the end of them instead of just the tapered ones like an octopus, actually have the squid bits on the end.
Well, you walk down the street, everyone would look at Matt and be like, that is one dapper tentacled horror. He tips his hat. It's got a brandy in one tentacle. The other hand tentacle has maybe a cane that he twirls.
Sure.
Sure. Why not? Put on a happy face.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling.
Of course, we're always interested in what you have for the question of the week. If you'd like, hit us up at Goblins Corner on Twitter and all the various socials. And of course, you can always do what, Matt?
You can always comment down below.
There's
a spot for it.
Every time. So we're talking about custom aberrations, and we've given you some very easy rules to follow to create your own custom aberration. Now, notice we didn't add any mechanics.
Right.
Because we don't know if you're playing D&D or Pathfinder or, honestly, White Wolf, anything, really.
Call of Cthulhu.
Could be.
I mean, custom aberrations would work great for that as well.
And it's fine.
Yeah.
If you want to hit us up with some mechanics at some point, hit us up. We're perfectly happy to help you build that monster as well. We wouldn't be who we were if we didn't give you some custom aberrations that we've created. So we've got three of them, and I find these are very delightful because they're good examples of, I would say, body horror, mutation horror, and then just cosmic horror.
Sure. So let's start with you, and we've got blood ticks.
Yes.
Well, that already sounds great.
Sounds delightful. We've got description, special abilities. We've got some combat, ecology, and lore.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the description. You find the comatose warrior covered in what appears to be large, cancerous growths all over her body. Oozing pus and strange, writhing hairs sprout from the various wounds, and upon closer inspection, you notice that the bulbs are actually horrific colonies of tick-like creatures.
Yay!
People are already squeamish at this point. Suddenly, the warrior opens her eyes, whispers, "Kill me," and explodes, showering you with repulsive bits of flesh and the arthropods. With a stab of pain, you feel them burrowing into your skin.
Well, that's a great way to start. I mean, you have to love that, right? What are the special abilities of these little aberrations?
Yeah, they're little monstrosities too, but they're definitely aberrations. They would burrow, obviously, because they're ticks.
Sure.
I gave them a swarm-like ability, and in this case, we're doing D&D stats. I gave them a little bit of DC-12 reflex or take 1d4 piercing and become infested. And then I have the infested ability as well.
Okay.
Those infested with blood ticks rapidly degenerate mentally and physically, becoming increasingly irrational and violent.
I mean, that's actually kind of understandable.
Because if you've got a colony of arachnids burrowing under your skin, you're probably going to lose your mind.
I am.
Yeah. Infested will seek out their own destruction at the hands of others. Then there's this infested explosion when you get to like a critical mass. Should an infested take more than 10 points of damage, they explode. DC 15 reflex save, 2d6 piercing damage, releasing a swarm of burrowing blood ticks. So what happened in the description?
Right.
So the idea is they burrow under your skin to make more baby ticks. you become increasingly irrational and violent, much like rabies,
right?
To spread the disease. Someone eventually defends themselves and attacks you. You explode, showering them in blood ticks, which burrow into your skin and repeat the process.
Sure. That's not awful in any way.
No. It's great.
What is the combat for these things like?
Per host or swarm. Most likely you will encounter blood ticks on the host, but if they exist after they've exploded, it's just a swarm.
Right.
So they enter your square and so forth. Those infected with blood ticks, particularly in the latter stages, become increasingly violent, which spreads the insects to the other creature. Use the stat blocks of the infected creature.
That's it.
Pretty easy, right?
They infest a gnoll. They act as a gnoll right up until they explode on someone.
Exactly.
And the ecology for these things.
They can exist in any environment that the creature exists in. Due to their rather horrific method of reproduction, blood ticks can rapidly destroy entire ecosystems within weeks of being introduced. Any living animal tissue quickly becomes an explosive, mobile nest to transmit more grasping insects further across the world.
I mean, there you go.
They show up on a farm, infest the cattle, infest the humans, and the dog. Next thing you know, you've got a contagion spreading.
The cows, the sheep, everything.
Spreading across the land.
Yep. What is the lore behind these blood ticks?
Blood ticks come from a strange parasitic world which only comes into conjunction with other prime material worlds once every 1,000 years.
Well, that's good.
These grotesque insects, once attached to flesh, form a communal nest inside a living creature and rapidly spread throughout the body in a matter of hours.
All right.
Yeah,
hours is not good.
Get that cure disease quick, my friend.
Yes, indeed.
One in 100 blood tick colonies do not explode when struck, but rather hijack the host body.
Okay.
The one in 100 of people contracted instead get hijacked by the blood ticks.
They instead become pod people.
Yes. These colonies are especially dangerous as they command the still living individual to commit actions that will spread blood ticks to as many creatures as possible. So imagine, it's taken over the farm, but it got inside the father, right, of the family.
Sure.
On the farm. And he's not exploding. Instead, he's going to town with a whole bunch of blood ticks in his hand, and he's mashing them into people's faces. Or maybe he's bringing everybody to the farm.
Sure. So there's so many options.
There's a lot, yeah. This is a great low-level campaign starter. Now, we've gone from body horror to, I would say, horror here. Filth horror.
Filth horror?
Nasty horror.
Sure.
So talk to me about your creature that you've created, the Filth Gorger.
Okay. The description is, the Filth Gorger looks like an unholy amalgam of octopus and spider.
Hmm. Always a great start.
I love it. Hey, they've both got 8 legs, so there's a commonality there. A rounded purple carapace with 2 alien eyes sits atop 8 gray rubbery legs tipped with shiny purple, sharp, lance-like feet.
Okay, so we've got rubbery legs,
mm-hmm.
a carapace,
mm-hmm.
and at the bottom, like the tips, are these metallic-looking lance feet
yes.
that pierce.
Yes.
Okay. I'm seeing something very similar to War of the Worlds. You know, like the machines from War of the Worlds that kind of tromp along. How big is this thing?
Oh, no, it's 5 foot around.
Okay, so beholder size.
Yeah.
But it tromps along on its alien appendages. It stabs you with them, I assume.
Yes.
Yeah, it sounds great. What kind of special abilities does this thing have?
It can parry. It can use a reaction to parry a physical attack, subtracting 1d6 from the attack roll.
Yeah, because it's got
8 legs.
And you got 1 attack,
mm-hmm.
or 2 if you're, you know, especially froggy, if you're a warrior.
Sure. And it just, ching, attempts to block with it.
It's a whirlwind of death. Cool. That's it?
Well, that's it for special abilities.
Okay.
Yes.
What's it like in combat then?
It has multi-attack and attacks 3 times per round.
Nice.
It also has a blinding acid cone. It's a 15-foot cone of acid dealing 3d6 damage and a con save or be blinded.
Nasty.
Yes.
So it breathes some acid on you, hits you with a couple of attacks, parries everything.
Yes.
Not fun.
And you have to make the con save every round to blink the blinding acid out of your eyes.
Yeah. What's the ecology of the Filth Gorger?
The ecology is unknown. No one has ever seen a baby Filth Gorger, or even more than one in a single place. Even in sewers that contain multiple, they seem to maintain fairly large territories. They don't deal with each other.
Lone wolf.
Yep.
Lone horror.
Yes.
What's the lore behind filth gorgers?
Filth gorgers are the product of poor decontamination practices anywhere that contains both alchemical and magical experimentation. It is unknown why these are the most common shape that such things take, but many hypotheses abound.
Kind of like how evolution always produces crabs.
Yeah.
That's true, by the way. Look that up. This just happens to produce spider octopi.
Yeah.
So that's the filth gorger, huh?
I very intentionally phrased it that way because I didn't want to close the door on there being other contaminated critters.
Sure.
This is just the most common option available.
I love it.
Next. Even the name of this is awful. Next, we have lore sacks.
Yes, the lore sack.
What is the description of a lore sack?
As you enter the lightless cavern, the torches reveal a large, floating set of pink, slightly hairy skin sacks. One droops slightly lower than the other.
Uh-huh.
Veins and small dark eye spots haphazardly dot the sacks, while a sideways mouth can be seen underneath the creature in the center of the flesh bags. Just as the party's wizard exclaims, they look just like a giant pair of... The central orifice opens, revealing slick, purple tendrils which dart out and latch onto the helpless spellcaster. He screams as his skull deflates, rendering him an unthinking sack of meat.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Squeezes him so hard that his brain pops out.
It's wonderful.
Obviously, these things are going to have some kind of special abilities. Mm-hmm. What are they working with?
All right. So first off, it can see intelligence.
Interesting. Okay.
So I didn't give a radius to that, but it could be 60 foot or whatever.
I think just eyesight.
Eyesight, yeah. Okay. Once per round, it could do a mind rip, DC 20 int save. If a tentacle hits, those affected lose 1d4 intelligence points.
That's
drains
not good.
Your brain. Only does it once per round, though.
Sure.
So that's good. I did say it was a cosmic horror.
Mm-hmm.
It also can digest knowledge. If you are hit by a tentacle, the target loses one spell from their memory. Highest levels first.
Sure, because awful.
It can digest magic.
Okay.
If a lore sack saves against a spell, it absorbs the spell instead.
Well, that's obviously not good.
It can do a psychic pulse. So think psychic scream, 30-foot radius.
Okay.
DC 15 wisdom or take 76 psychic damage and is stunned. Do a half for, half damage, say for half.
Right.
Not being stunned. And finally, it can spellcast because it eats spells. So you would assume it has several spells already in its ability before you encounter it.
Depending on the level of your party, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would roll a D4. A D6, a D10, a D12. That's how many spells it's got available, and then just figure out what they are.
Yeah, that's kind of what it has in combat as well. So it's got a multi-attack, got four tendril attack.
Okay.
Sprouts out of the orifice, right?
Right.
And it generally does, the first attack is a mind rip, if it can get it off, and then the other three digest knowledge, because it's smack. Doesn't do any really damage when they touch you, they just steal a spell. So obviously, it's going after spellcasters.
Sure.
Or magic items, potentially. You could also maybe make that as a tertiary ability if you want. Other rounds include psychic pulse, spell casting, as we mentioned. And so I had just 1d10 random spells per encounter, and it could grapple or body slam. So it could slam you with its testicle like appendages.
Sure.
This is just two floating ball sacks.
Feels like that would hurt. I don't know if they'd want to do that or not. You
got teabagged by a 4-ton monster.
All right. What exactly is the ecology of this thing?
Lore sacks are a group of psionic, intelligence-eating creatures and are generally not part of the natural world. Duh.
Sure.
The primary sack, that's the one that droops slightly lower, contains most of the sensory organs in the brain, while the secondary sack contains all of the digestive equipment necessary to eat intelligence.
Okay.
That's the intestines or whatever passes for that.
Right.
Those who have a chance to gaze at the secondary sac often see squirming ectoplasmic forms of the psyches devoured, but have yet to be digested. So you can see these writhing essences of people that got their brains sucked out by the beast.
And it doesn't even have to be people-shaped things, just things with intelligences. Yeah,
lots of things have intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the numerous eye spots, lore sacs have very poor vision and are limited to dark vision 30 foot only, relying on their intelligence sight predominantly.
Makes sense. That's all they're interested in, is eating intelligence.
Yeah. So they don't really see much, but they can see things that are intelligent, which, by the way, is great if you're a construct. Yeah. It's just going to wail on the lore sack, and if it's not showing up on dark vision, it's a good day.
Yep. Yeah.
Why am I getting beat in my nut?
What is the lore behind these things?
Birth from an underdark tear in the far realm, lore sacks seek knowledge of creation so that they can uncreate reality for all time. They want to remove existence.
I mean, look, if I was a 4-ton sack with only the capability of eating intelligence, I think I'd be about done also.
Yeah, they just want to teabag reality back into oblivion.
Makes sense to me.
So there you have it. 3 custom aberrations for you to use in your campaign, as well as some options for you to create your own custom tentacled horror to throw at your PCs, potentially kill them.
Or make them wish they were dead.
And in many cases, they will. Any questions or comments, hit us up at Goblin's Corner on Twitter and the various socials.
Mm-hmm.
Did you enjoy this podcast? We've got a whole bunch more horrible ideas waiting to writhe their tentacles at you. Subscribe to our podcast on your favorite player, YouTube, and Twitch.
Click the 5 stars and give us a review on iTunes or Podchaser. And on YouTube, hit the like and subscribe button. It helps get our show in front of more people, and it feeds the hungry algorithm.
It's currently pushing itself through a tear in reality from the far realm with tentacled horrors and 18 eyes and a delightful orange crab claw. Clap, 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 clap.
I like to think the algorithm has one tiny crab claw, though. It's just...
Oh, it's just a teeny tiny one? Yeah, tiny little, the tiniest little crab claw with a tiny little violin. That's all the time we have for tonight. Once again, my name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
We'll see you next time.
Good night, folks. The Goblin's Corner has been written and produced by Eric Holden and Matt Staple.
D20 did our music.
And this has been a Subterranean production.
Later.